Time Come, written and read by Linton Kwesi Johnson. For Sharmila. What use immortal fame to mortal body? Du Fu, Winding River, translated by Andrew Nielsen in Modern Poetry in Translation No. 1, 2022.
Introduction. Culture as a Vital Force, written by Paul Gilroy and read by Benon Wukwe. It is mistaken to think of Linton Kwesi Johnson only as the sometime poet laureate of Black Britain, the role for which he is best known in the mainstream. Johnson's output of cultural commentary, journalistic and critical writing about politics, music, literature and drama is extensive and far from familiar. The contents of this rich anthology are drawn from a wide variety of publications and contexts. Johnson's writing has been salvaged and recycled from ephemeral publications, Melody Maker, Race Today, and New Society. Forgotten and overlooked statements have been combined with talks, speeches, reviews, and dialogues from book festivals, activist rallies, memorial and ceremonial meetings here in Europe, the Caribbean, and South Africa. This is all firmly analogue writing, which, for the most part, cannot be found anywhere online. Brought together in this way, the material painfully conveys the contraction and diminution of the public world of ideas created by combative, radical interests during almost five decades. The resulting patchwork of lectures, talks, eulogies, and expository essays is therefore more than merely a counterpoint to Johnson's poetic chronicling of the life of his generation of settlers from the Caribbean and the locally born sufferers with whom they made common cause. His commentaries, observations, and insights derive from and operate within the wide transnational geography of the 20th century's Black Freedom Movement. However, they are energized by the poet's local affiliations with London and his neighborhood, as well as the various activist groups to which he has belonged. Among them were the Race Today Collective and the arts organization Creation for Liberation, which operated in alliance with the Black Parents Movement, the Black Youth Movement, and associated groups outside London. The bulk of the writing here addresses the intercultural, creolized, diasporic, and Caribbean dimensions of Johnson's signature predicament. He is affiliated to several locations, all of which make claims upon him, and all of which he claims in return, because they accent different features of a complex anti-post-colonial formation. This material shows how Johnson has repeatedly turned that vexed position into a creative opportunity. His cultural and geopolitical ties supply a heavy baseline here. It is heard in a framework supplied by irreducibly human tones, which are audible on another frequency. Their strength and appeal drive from Johnson's rebel disposition in the language of freedom-seeking tradition, to which he subscribes. It has been nobly augmented by the poetic idiom he created. This material insists upon the truth, value of art, the inevitability of social struggle, and the eternal necessity of pursuing justice, equality, and peace. Johnson's righteous endorsement of those time-worn demands is greatly amplified by the manner in which they have been mutually articulated. It is well known that Johnson worked as a librarian at the fabled Keskiddy Centre on North London's Caledonian Road. That role highlights his distinctive generational position. His creative life extends back into the sophisticated anti-colonial furnace of the Caribbean Artists Movement, where he was mentored by the likes of Andrew Solke, John LaRose, and others. Under the impact of Black Power, and in solidarity with national liberation struggles, that formation